Hey, what's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast. We are slightly shorthanded this week, but that's all right. I got Brett. I got Laramie in New York with Brett.
I'm Brett.
Hey.
Hey.
Laramie's in Seattle.
This is going to be a dark, dark podcast with just me and Brett.
Laramie, you ever think about death?
A lot, constantly.
You guys, nonetheless, we're going to do our best. It's going to be a great show. We got stuff to talk about. We got, like, the worst network TV promos that seem fake. Found a few of those. Those are always fun. I know Brett saw Old Boy this week.
Oh.
I was going to talk to Laramie. Or no, Laramie saw Old Boy this week. Brett saw Only God Forgives.
Hive mind.
Right. Yeah, you guys are just one entity, I think, of you now.
It's fair.
And then we're going to read some of your emails, and I thought we would talk about some of the most ill-advised acting choices of this year and in general, because this has been going around lately.
I like it.
Yeah. But, first I got this story that I wanted to read you guys. I have this theory that if you're going to go on a racist tirade, that you should do it with a fire extinguisher up your butt.
Sure.
And that's exactly what this guy did in England. The sordid tale involves Joseph Small of Sheffield, who checked into a Premier Inn in London while in town to buy a used car. A clerk saw him naked in a hotel corridor on the CCTV camera. When he went to investigate, he found Small holding a fire extinguisher, whose hose Small then stuck up his bum while fondling himself and shouting, "This country has been taken over by Al-Qaeda. Go back to Pakistan," at the clerk. The clerk is of Bangladeshi origin. Mr. Small later urinated on the lobby carpet while shouting, "I'm from Sheffield." That's what you guys should do.
That's a tough message to parse. Right? Because I get what his political views are, but I don't know that I understand the anal aspect of them.
Like, maybe there was a burning cross inside his butt and he had to shove it.
Was there extinguishing fluid or powder left in the fire extinguisher?
I mean, how would you know if the other end's in the guy's butt?
Yeah, I mean, he could have been done already.
Maybe
he could have been like a grenade just waiting to go off.
For all we know, he's discovered the world's best way to have an orgasm, and it's to put, I guess, fluid up your butt?
I don't think you want that fluid up your butt.
Maybe it's drugs.
maybe he brought it from home, and it's his own fire extinguisher filled with drug fluid.
Yeah.
That's not a bad... It's a lot of planning, though.
Maybe. Well, how do you know he didn't just eat something hot, you know, and had a bad poop, and he was like trying... He's English. Maybe he's not used to spice that much, you know?
Was he punished for this, or is this freedom of speech?
They're just like, he's drunk.
This guy, right?
That's what they do over there.
There's nothing worse we can do to this man.
Old fire hose ass Bill.
The defendant could also be seen on CCTV placing a fire extinguisher hose and masturbating at the same time. Hassan called the police. Small racially abused the two police officers who arrived. Shocking. It doesn't say what he got charged with. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I mean, at least he was masturbating too.
Yeah. I mean,
it would have been awkward if he wasn't at this point.
Right.
This sounds like a Florida case, to be totally honest with you.
I don't like that.
I got that going for me.
don't like that. That is sampled too high.
Yeah. Well, you know. Here's a question from the email. Hey, Frock Crew, I have a question aimed mainly at Vince, but I'd like to know from the rest of you, too. Last Wednesday, I did a stand-up show at a booked college night show at a pub. Very early on, we realized we had a drunk heckler who wanted to be part of the act, but who couldn't handle being the butt of the joke and became racist fairly quickly. I'm Pakistani, and his interaction with me was to yell, "Thank Allah there's no tall buildings here for you." When he was booed subsequently, he threatened to kill everyone there and was thrown out. So, guys, do you have any stories about particularly bad hecklers? And I actually have two good stories, both from this week. First of all, I was at an open mic on Friday. At the radio show that Pam Benjamin, who's been a guest on here before, runs. And there's the typical thing is people always ask, like, "Oh, like, have you ever had a heckler, or what do you do about a heckler?" Like, a heckler would be one thing. Like, a guy who, like, yells at you and tries to insult you, that's like, you can deal with that. Like, there's a give and take there. Like, you can make you could make content out of that. But usually you don't actually have a heckler. You just have someone who like thinks they're part of the joke and just sort of is too drunk, and they just sort of yell like a non sequitur in the middle of a setup, and then it just kills whatever punchline comes after it. But that's what this guy was doing. And there was an Irish guy on stage, and he was trying to sort of engage this guy, but this guy was like, the heckler guy wasn't giving anything good. He was just being annoying. And at one point, the Irish guy just started back in with his joke, and he finished, and he got to the punchline, and the heckler guy just goes, "Why?" Which is like the most
baffling. Existentialist heckle.
It's the most baffling. Like, what do you do with that? That's why there's no "why" and in improv. Like, if you just get to the punchline and the guy asks why, I don't know what you do with that.
Because it's funny?
Yeah. Like, why did Chicken Cross the Road get to the other side? Why? It's like a child. And then the other thing that happened to me this week was I went to meet some people at the Dueling Piano Bar here in San Francisco.
Yes.
Pretty fun time. So I get there and I meet up with the people that I'm meeting up with. And then there's like another couple there that's apparently like friends with one of the people, but most of us are just meeting this couple for the first time. And I can't remember what song he was playing, but the Dueling Piano guys, they're playing this song, and this couple, like the girl, she sort of seemed drunk before, but it wasn't, you know, like beyond the pale or anything. She was still making words and everything. And then in the middle of the song, she just decides that she hates the piano guy. And so,
were they playing Crocodile Rock? Because that's usually what they're playing.
I wish. No, I would definitely would have remembered that.
Okay.
Oh, you know what it was? I think it was American Pie.
Sure. That's the other thing they play.
Yeah. So he's playing American Pie, and he's like, and then every time, you know, there's like the little tinkly piano parts where there's no singing at certain parts of American Pie. So he'll like
a long, long time ago.
Yeah. And then he goes tinkly tink. And then so she just waits for these lulls, and she'll just be like, he'll be like, "A long, long time ago. Faggot! Fuck you! You suck!" He just keeps yelling "faggot" and "fuck you" and "you suck" and "you're an asshole." And the piano player is just sort of baffled. Like, he hears her because she's only about like 25 feet away, you know, and it's not a huge place.
And they're lifted up too. I'm sure there was eye contact being made.
Yeah, no, the whole bar was turning around to look at this woman screaming at the piano player, and she's calling him names. And then on the first one, she's like, "faggot," and he's like, "hey," and then he just sort of goes back to the song. And then at a certain point, it's like getting kind of ridiculous. So he like gets up to go walk over, you know, to like sort of see what's going on in the background, to sort of, you know, maybe mess with her, make like she's become part of the show. So he has to include her at this point, you know, and he walks over, and before he can even do anything, the boyfriend just shoves the guy. And this is happening like right behind my back, and we're all trying not to make eye contact. Or, I mean,
you're turtling.
Yeah, basically, exactly. We're turtling up, trying not to make eye contact. And the piano player smartly just goes, "Okay, well," and then he just sort of walks back to the stool to sit down smartly, because that, you know, you can't really do anything with the guy that just sort of shoves you and thinks.
Yeah, you let the bouncers take care of that point. You thought it might be a fun little engagement. Turns out, not so much.
Right. Also, turns out, no bouncers. We didn't realize this at that point. I was like we're just sort of sitting there being like, where the fuck are the bouncers? What is going on? And so then it sort of calms down for a while after that. And this girl, she's just, I don't know if they're on something or just really drunk. At one point in the night, I can overhear her talking to someone else, and the only part of the conversation I heard was, "Sometimes my boyfriend tells me he thinks I have fetal alcohol syndrome."
Oh. That's a buzzkill.
Yeah. So then, yeah.
That was as they were playing Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge, I believe. If I recall the story correctly.
Right. Yeah, you got to know what song's playing during all these interactions. Very important. So they cash out, and we see him like walking towards the door. We're like, oh, thank God they left. We don't have to be associated with the faggot screamer, who's part of our table apparently. And then we thought they were gone, but then we see the girl like with her hands on the piano, like sort of dancing, you know, in the spot that you're not really supposed to be.
Ooh.
At the
between the pianos,
just on stage when there was no call for people to be on stage. and she's doing it, and they're letting it go on for a while. And I'm like, where the hell are the bouncers? What's going on right now? And
these are the worst bouncers ever.
Oh, yeah. And they let it go on for a while. And then she grabs the microphone out of the guy's hand. And like I said, still no bouncers. So he has to basically just like shove her to the ground, and he's trying to wrestle the mic out of her hand. And she's like screaming at him, and like the mic is there. And so it's like, you know, it's doing the whole like the ruffled mic sound. And then she kicks him in the face. And then finally, one of the bartenders, who I guess is the deputized bouncer for down there, finally like threw him out. And
wow,
I've never seen that many people, that big of a room full of people, all with their hands over their mouth about the same thing.
Maybe.
Oh dear.
Yeah, this was a collective oh dear.
Maybe dueling pianos killed her father. Right?
Like, it could be.
That bar is a hotbed for unrest, though.
Really?
Remember on my birthday, my lady poured a beer on that random chick's head that was trying to fight her friend?
Oh, wow. I didn't remember that. Was I just really drunk at that
Brendan
point?
Brendan and I were at the bar, and we turned around and we're like, uh-oh, we better get over there.
Why are ladies so mad in there?
Tinkling of the piano just brings out the rage.
It gets them on. It's their fight song.
They review the triangle of female hormones in there.
Benny and the Jets just gets everyone super angry.
They hear that crocodile rock and they get all antsy in their pantsy.
I have a heckling story.
Do you?
It's a reverse heckling story.
Okay.
I was at a comedy show, as I'm wont to do, and there were only four of us. And three of us were me and two friends. And so the guy was obviously not having a great time.
Wait, somebody went to a comedy show by themselves?
Yeah, that's creepy, right? I don't know what that story was. But he looks at me and he goes, where you work? And I'm like, oh, I work at the post office.
Where are you from?
Oh, really? And he's like, you gonna go on a killing spree or something? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're supposed to make us laugh, and this has gone horribly. You're heckling me now.
You're doing crowd work for three people.
You've just alienated 25% of your audience, buddy.
And I just kept saying more and more, like, you know, eccentric things. Just to like, so he had nowhere to go with everything. And he eventually gave up. Because I was with two girls, and he's like, are you dating both of them? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, oh.
Why?
It was almost like a conversation more than a comedy show. It's strange.
Because usually there's more people to laugh at whatever he says about you.
He was just angry that there were so few people, clearly.
Yeah. But sometimes they do that.
Your fault.
Yeah, yeah. It's my deal. What I'm going
You're
through.
Like, no one else. It's me and my two girlfriends and this guy. This guy gets in.
This one guy.
Yeah. So, Laramie.
The other heckling story I
okay.
have.
Oh, yeah, two. All right.
Is a heckle that came from my beloved wife, but it was an accidental heckle. So we were seeing Daniel Tosh at Giggles, which is a comedy club out here, back when he wasn't Daniel Tosh. He was much smaller, but I'd seen him on Comedy Central, thought he was funny. Tickets were like $15. We went, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know, 60 people there in a room of 100 capacity. And he goes, welcome to my sold-out show, everybody. And Laura laughed. He goes, it's not sold out. And he was, like, waiting for someone to do that, clearly. And he goes, thank you, Captain Obvious, and, like, points at her. So she became an unwitting victim.
Yeah, well, someone had to do it.
Yep, took the bullet.
So, Laramie.
So,
did you see Old Boy?
I did see Old Boy.
Sub question: did you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement to see Old Boy?
A super severe non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, that's like yeah.
Like I've never had to sign an NDA for anything involved. I don't think with movies.
It was the weirdest thing. Where do you think that came from? Because I do the same thing. For those of you who don't know. Usually you just get an email from a PR company and you get invited to a press screening and then you just go. And, you know, usually the email will be like, don't post your reviews before this date. But this time it wasn't even through a PR company. It was through the actual film studio, and you actually had to fill out and sign like a legal agreement and send it back before you could go.
Was there a prior inventions clause where you had to list all the movies you had seen so that when they went public, they couldn't claim them as their own?
There was a non-compete, so you can't text.
I can't make movies anymore.
Yeah.
It I think what they were worried about is people spoiling the ending, I guess.
Which, but is it the same ending as the actual Old Boy?
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is almost exactly the same, right? Like, what was even different?
And also, like, okay, so the embargo breaks Tuesday, November 26th at 12 p.m., the email says. So then I can spoil the ending? Like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on? Like,
we're still seeing it days before the general public.
Yeah, and, like, who the hell's going to, like, an idiot is the person who spoils the ending to begin with, and if you read idiots, then that's on you. Like,
what would they possibly sue you for in the breach of contract litigation? What are you
– Well, this is really good. Here's really good. They should be entitled to seek equitable relief, including injunctive relief, and I acknowledge there may not be an adequate remedy at law, which means I think they can murder you.
Yeah, that's like the American legal system does not provide enough recompense for what you have done to wrong us.
An adequate remedy at law means they can just come to your house and start hitting you, right?
Yeah.
Injunctive relief. Like,
we gotta take one of your balls. Sorry.
This is the deal.
Isn't that pink eye? Injunctive relief?
We're showing you this movie. Now we own you.
It's very strange. And then when I saw the actual movie, I was actually quite taken with the movie because
you're smitten.
Okay, because here's my thing. I hate going to a movie that's just like mediocre, you know, where it's like, I can see what they're going for. They didn't quite get it. I'm never going to remember this for more than 5 minutes. Like, that is not that interesting to me. But then a movie like Old Boy that's just like a total train wreck, to me, there's something fascinating about seeing just this continuing snowball of bad ideas. And just, it's sort of, you're fascinated that there was that many people that all got on board with that many bad ideas. And there's something, there's something educational about that, isn't there? Like,
it's like watching a car wreck try and fuck itself.
Well, it's really just as rare as a good idea, right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, they're both on the same end of the spectrum. My thing, I don't know that it was so much bad as, like, why? I guess you would ask that question. Why did we do this? Like, it made sense as a Korean film, and a lot of the culture, and we discussed this after, like, that I might just be racist, but, like, a lot of the violence made sense to me in Asian cinema that didn't really, like, translate, like, guys with, like, bats and knives and stuff, and, like, why wouldn't they just pull a Gat? Like,
I don't think it's that it's racist. I think that there's just, when you watch something from another country, especially an Asian country, like, there's a sense of otherness that excuses certain things.
Right.
Like, I mean, first of all, the fact that they're in New York and there's going to be like a gang of dudes that fight you with 2x4s.
That was my exact problem. It was like, what's happening now?
But in Korea, you're like, oh, maybe that's what happens in Korea. Like, you don't know. There's like a sense of, I don't know what that culture consists of exactly. So certain things.
Go ahead.
The long and storied history of board fighting. It's cultural.
Well, I assume everyone else has less access to firearms than we do, right?
Well, that's so what I assumed.
We never have fights with 2x4s and bats and shivs and stuff. But it almost seemed like they were going to do like Old Boy the Musical. Like, it just seemed like so affected.
Well, the whole fight scene. Well, I've been rewatching Old Boy just to see, you know, the difference between the two. And like in the Korean version, the fight scene takes place in a narrow corridor, so it kind of makes sense that he could sort of fight those guys one at a time. But then in the American room, they're just fighting in a big warehouse, and it looks like something that you would see at Universal Studios, because it's very clear that every background guy is just swinging at air for no reason.
Or like you would see it in a ninja movie from the 80s. Yeah. It's like the guy's waiting to jump in to get hit.
Yeah.
As opposed to tackling him and then stomping his face. Like, they're all waiting, wait. Now I turn to get hit. Got it.
It's like a parody of, like, Double Dragon. That's what it looks like.
It was like a choreographed, I mean,
For what it's worth, I would watch Old Boy the Musical in a heartbeat.
That would be good. Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
But it wasn't even, like, that. To me, that wasn't even the worst part. To me, the worst part was just the villain, like the, like, Charlto Copley. Where he plays the villain who listens to opera and has an affected British accent and wears like wingtips and an ascot.
Do you think a little bit Spike Lee was like, you know what? White people are so fucked up. I'm just going to make a movie about that.
Not so much with the villain, but definitely in conjunction with the beginning scene where Josh Brolin hits on the black guy's wife and then basically gets like bitch slapped in the restaurant.
More than the other.
There definitely seemed to be a little bit of I hate white people in that scene. Just
and then the other character who's black runs the prison situation, and he comes off seeming like a pretty nice guy. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's just kind of doing his job, right?
Well, that's like, the kind of way it was in the original, though.
He's a working man.
Yeah. A little bit. Anyway. I've been rewatching the original. I sort of forgot how rapey it is.
It's a little rapey.
Yeah, super rapey.
It's like super rapey. Like he sort of the, you know, his daughter or, well, spoiler alert.
Like, oh, you're going to just get sued so hard they're going to come down on you.
No, I was like, talking about the Korean
like
version.
Like a hammer with some dots leading to your head.
This movie is going to make 35 cents. Like, yeah. No one's going to see this movie.
I was talking about the Korean version, but in the Korean version, when Odesu, like he runs into the bathroom while she's on the toilet and basically like tries to fuck her while she's on the toilet, and then she clonks him on the head like Looney Tunes. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I repressed that immediately.
Yeah, and then when he's spying the bad guy doing naughty stuff with his sister, he tries to pull down her panties and she's like no, and then he tries again and she's like no, and he tries again and she says no and slaps him, and then he tries again and she's like okay. And then he tries to unbutton her shirt. She tries to unbutton her shirt, and she's like, no. He tries to unbutton her shirt again, and then she slaps his hand away. She tries to unbutton her shirt again, and then she's like, oh, okay. And it's like, what is this movie training people to do?
But then you figure out, well, that's how Koreans do it.
Yeah.
They didn't do a super good job of setting up him as an unlikable character in the Korean version, which I think they wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, where he's got all kinds of shitty flaws. Like, they just sort of jumped into him being kidnapped.
Right.
Where they could have spent maybe five more minutes sort of illustrating that he's a really bad person.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a better job of that in the remake. But yeah, that's like the only thing they do well.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of assumptions about him being sort of an asshole salaryman that doesn't translate. We're like, oh, I recognize that he's kind of like a douchey prick.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think they conveyed in the Korean one.
Are the last shots the same, Vince? I was wondering about that.
The last shots?
Yeah, the last shot.
I haven't gotten to that part of the Korean because I sort of remembered it, but I didn't remember it that well. Like, I mean, I remembered like the broad strokes of it.
I kept confusing like Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance in my head too.
Was the old boy ends with the tree, right? He's staring at the tree and then he's going to forget.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
I haven't gotten to that part of the Netflix
yet. He goes to the hypnotist.
How many like sessions have you had with old boy, Vince? Like 10 minutes each? Like, 4 days worth?
No, I don't know.
You just drawing it out?
Half hour chunks.
Sure. Okay.
As you do.
I think I watched Old Boy with my mom on like Christmas break 1 year. I was like, you might not like this.
And she's like, oh, it wouldn't be that bad. You're like, oh, mom.
Like, who the hell do you recommend Old Boy or Old Boy to? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's so depraved. Like, it's a great film, but it's like, it's not exactly a Christmas special.
I don't know. It's probably top five for me. Old Boy is really good. Yeah, it's real good.
No way.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I know the test market now. I just thought of this. Girls who are really close with their fathers.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Old Boy was one of those weird movies. This never happens to me, but it was like one of those rare movies where I actually see the twist coming.
Well, the twist isn't important. He sets up the shots the same way Wes Anderson sets up the shots.
Oh, I know why you like it,
because
it's
in his framing.
Yeah, you like it because it's all like very almost like abstract art, all the framing and stuff. That makes
sense. No, I like that there's a punchline per scene almost. Where, yeah,
but you like it for visual
reasons.
He's got
visual gags and something that's not funny at all.
Yeah. I can see that. And that was definitely one of my thoughts when I was watching it. I was like, oh, well, this movie isn't even really... I mean, it's sort of about the story, but it's all visually witty.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I don't think that comes through in Spike Lee. Also, Spike Lee just... I feel like he missed giant parts of the theme. Like, there's the whole theme in the original where it's like, do you want to get vengeance or do you want to know what happens to you? And there's like there isn't that in the Spike Lee version at all. Like, I don't even know. I don't know if he like missed that or what.
Yeah, he just which was a pretty vengeance. Important theme in the original.
Yeah,
there's like one of the two main themes. The other being incest.
Yeah, and it was almost like the seeking of knowledge is the punishment.
Yeah, you found out, and now you're cursed, and now the last scene is you trying to erase everything you've been in prison for and then fought to find out why. Like, you just want to undo it all.
Yeah. Like the original is sort of like a biblical parable where certain parts of the plot you're, like, confused by. You're not quite sure what happens, but it's, like, you sort of accept it because it feels sort of like a parable and it exists in this, you know, separate world that doesn't necessarily depict reality. It's sort of this weird place, whereas Spike Lee's...
There's a series of lessons rather than a straight through narrative.
Right. And then whereas the Spike Lee version, he like takes great pains to be like, oh, well, this is in New York and this is all... Like, he makes it all super familiar and grounded, and then he's like, oh, also Oedipus, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, eh, okay.
Yeah, I don't... It's. Are you going to see it in theaters, Brett?
Fuck no. I mean, you would have to work so hard to get me to care about... To justify its existence. Like, I would have had to been so blown away by his handling of it and like his stamp on the theme that I would overlook the fact that Old Boy, the original, is so well constructed. Like, there's very little you can add by saying, here's my riff on this narrative, because Old Boy is so idiosyncratic. You know, it's a thing unto itself, and I'm not really interested in other people's riffs on it. Like, there's topics, yeah. Like, I'd love to see 1,000 people's take on, like, genre pieces or stuff like that, where it's sort of like you know the tropes and you're kind of looking for a personal – like, I'd love to see Wes Anderson direct a horror movie in real life and not in SNL. I think that would be hilarious. But I'm not super interested in seeing that package rewrapped.
You're not interested in seeing Spike Lee direct a Wes Anderson movie?
No. That might be good, but Old Boy is hard to separate from it is so powerfully connected with the authorship of the thing that putting another author in that place doesn't really interest me that much. Like, he would have to work really hard to be like, here's what I'm bringing to the table. When the table, like, he's gonna have to knock over like a beautiful feast and then be like, oh, also, I don't know, I brought like a shake.
He's gonna, and in reality, he's just like, all right, number one, I hate white people. Number two, here's Elizabeth Olsen's tits. You know what? Part two, I respect. I have a lot of respect for that. That was good casting.
It seems like one of the reasons you'd make it is because people care about the original, but anyone who cares about the original can't possibly care about a remake.
Especially this remake.
There's good things that I like that I would like to see reinterpreted, even by Spike Lee. I think Spike Lee's got an interesting voice.
Does he? But,
yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's hard to pull Old Boy from Old Boyness.
From Korea?
No, not even that. I mean, it's different than even the other two in the trilogy. Like, Sympathy is very much a set of paintings instead of a set of gags. Mm-hmm. And then I don't even know what the fuck's going on with Lady. That one was just, like, squirrely as shit.
Did you see Stoker?
Did I see Stoker? No. You didn't like it, right?
Yeah, it was just sort of like...
The vampire one was good, but not in the way people wanted it to be good. The Thirst?
Yeah.
Thirst, I think? Yeah. That was very much about abusive relationships and just sort of like mundane abusive relationships. And it was kind of interesting in that. It's like, also, vampires are kind of just how we're telling this.
Stoker, was he just sort of took like a crappy American horror movie and was like putting all his awesome visuals in it. But then the whole last 30 minutes was like, which fucked up scene is he going to try and end it on?
Yeah.
And he's just sort of like fishing around in a pillowcase, sparked like twist ending.
Yeah. God, I know he's, I don't know if that's what people have come to expect from him or if he's got those tendencies like Shyamalan does, mm-hmm. where he's got to do something fucked up. But, I mean, he could just make a very plain movie and do it very, very well.
It comes off very – like when you get known for being like the guy who does like fucked up stuff, it immediately becomes very like art school.
Where it's some people are into it. Like Eli Roth definitely jerks off to amputee porn.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw his latest – The Green Inferno. It was it's not very good. It was weird because like he comes on afterwards and like he talks about all the things that he was trying to reference, and he's like and like the whole there in the end credits there's like a history of the Italian cannibal horror movie that he's really into. And like him talking about it was super interesting. The movie
and
was
he seems
not
super
interested.
Cool. Like Eli Roth seems like an awesome guy.
Like he had a bunch of interesting ideas that I did not get from the movie at all.
Yeah, I think he just lacks an execution. I think he's an idea guy and you need someone else actually putting the thing together.
Yeah, and he said something like, you know, I just didn't want to like second guess myself. I just wanted to like experiment, you know? And I was like, you know, I wish you would have edited some because I didn't know what the hell you were trying to communicate with to me with that. Like the acting was just weird and bad and yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Other than that though, pretty good.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is way too loud. That's really loud.
Is it loud on your end? It doesn't seem that loud over here. Well, Brett, you saw Only God Forgives, and I imagine that you would probably like it because the director hates humans.
Oh, I didn't. I don't know if he. Yeah, he hates. No.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
The whole movie reminds me.
He just hates the audience.
Yeah, which I appreciated. I mean, that's what I appreciated about that movie.
Yeah, I don't think it was powerfully misanthropic. I think he was kind of playing with some fucked up dolls. I don't know if that means that all of his toys are fucked up.
Yeah. I kind of like I don't know. I have this weird
thing
where
I enjoyed it. It was a solid B+.
Yeah.
I thought it was it didn't fry my balls in simmering sesame oil like Old Boy did. But he did a couple of cute things that I really liked that were like totally fucked up.
Such as?
I really enjoyed the frying pan scene.
Oh, right.
Where
I didn't know that
too. He's chasing the guy that the police, was he police chief?
Yeah.
He's some senior policeman. The main character is chasing the dude that just shot up a takeout place and tried to kill him. He's coming around a corner. He's waiting for him. And then they do an overhead shot of a frying pan full of boiling oil. It's just like they hang on it for just long enough to acknowledge that yes, this will be in somebody's face.
Yeah, now.
Yeah. I laughed out loud at that. That was pretty funny.
So I have this
also the hard cut to silent karaoke as the guy is getting his ear stabbed through.
all the cuts to karaoke were pretty great.
But the silent, because they'd done a similar shot with this actual sound on, and then he's just getting the knife shoved through his ear hole, and then they cut to silent karaoke. I'm just like, yeah, all right. I'm into that.
Tell me if this is weird. I kind of like those kind of movies where the director seems like he hates the audience. For some reason, to me, I enjoy it when the director is saying, fuck you, and like sort of daring people to write a bad review. I like that so much better than like the 12 Years a Slave where he's saying fuck you, but he also like wants awards for it. Cause there's like,
All right. I haven't seen 12 Years, so I can't directly compare, but I only respect artists who hate their fan base.
Old Boy, 12 Years a Slave, double feature. Date night.
Also, I mean, Baby Goose is just such a sweetheart. Even when he's making his little cat paws make it into a fist, he's got a little cat paw fist. Yeah. He's like, meow. I laughed pretty hard at the fight, too, where he's just getting his ass kicked. And they're playing the electronic music to just him getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Because he's retribution. You can't fist fight retribution.
That is true. It's in the Bible.
It's true.
Laramie, any thoughts?
I didn't see that one, actually.
Oh, why are you here?
What? I thought you'd seen it. Otherwise, I would have spoiled alerted you. Somebody gets their ear poked out. They get it right poked out, just all the way into the ear hole.
I never planned to see it.
Oh, it's good. You should. There's dismemberment.
It's got beautiful interior design.
Quite a bit of dismemberment.
A lot of Ryan Gosling walking through tasteful hallways.
Yes.
I don't believe in the premise, though.
I have a higher tolerance for symbolism than most people, I think. A lot of people somebody emailed in saying they're like, "Ooh, it's red, he's already in hell, we get it." I think they emailed in that voice. But yeah, I mean, so what? I mean, it's not, he's not being cute about it. It's not a fucking briefcase in Pulp Fiction. Like, that shit's stupid where you're like, ooh, what is it? It's like, yes, he's in hell. They're all in hell. This is established. These are all bad people. They've sinned. They're waiting for their judgment to come. And every moment that it doesn't is another second that is torturing them. Like, that is established very clearly. I mean, it's in the fucking title.
I like a nice metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's trying to make it a one-to-one thing instead of sort of a loosely symbolic thing. And everyone should just shut the fuck up. Like, sometimes it's not an exact substitute for another thing that's dumb. It's not always the Bible.
Some, oh, God.
95% of the time, it's the Bible, he's Jesus.
Speaking of which.
5% of the time, don't try and make it into that.
Speaking of which, what the fuck? Did Catching Fire really need, like, the Christ metaphor shot?
Everything needs a Christ metaphor shot. I don't know how to relate to it unless somebody's in a cross pose.
Laramie, don't act like you don't remember that. There was like 45 seconds of her like going up to the spaceship in a crucifix pose.
There's a spaceship?
Oh. I was concentrating more on the black dude getting his face beat in.
There's a spaceship?
Huh. Well, yeah. There's like the ship that takes him out of the Hunger Games arena. And they pick up Jennifer Lawrence after she like wrecks shit. And then she's like, she's in the, they had to do the arms out Christ pose for like 45 seconds. I mean,
so she's,
I don't know. I don't know how you do that by accident.
So she's Christ.
I mean, I'm assuming because she tried to sacrifice herself. Neo's Christ. RoboCop's Christ.
What about Superman? He's Christ,
Superman,
right?
Also Christ.
What about
Christ now?
What about Last Temptation of Christ?
No, he's not Christ. He's every man.
Damn, it's a reverse metaphor.
Damn it.
It's what I like to call a simile.
So close. So close.
Why did they have to do that, Laramie? Why?
Wait, when's RoboCop Christ? Because I would go to that church.
Guilty. We have a very victim-y culture. We'd like to be victims.
Yeah, but can't you be a victim without, like, not every victim is Jesus.
Most of them are, though.
Yeah, wrong.
False. Overruled.
As Brett said, 95% of them are.
Clearly.
Yeah. And then the other 5%, everyone's like making jerk-off motions in their emails, being like, oh, I get it, it's Jesus. It's like, well, that one actually wasn't Jesus.
I could have done without the Honey Bunny chick from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, that's who that was. Yeah, I enjoyed her.
TikTok. Did you really? Games? Did you like TikTok? TikTok?
I didn't realize who she was until you said that.
I wanted her totally to die so fast and so badly.
She's not Hunger Games material.
No, well, she's like one of the ex. They brought back all the old people, like Chop Champions. So like the people from back in the day are back to get quelled again. And then
they get quelled?
Yeah, they got to quell. They got to quell each other.
They get quelled for the sequel.
Oh, whoa. Jesus Christ, Laramie. Sorry.
I was looking for pictures to write my review, and I came across a bunch of pictures, the posters like of each person from the tribute. And it's like, he's the smartest man within 1,000 miles. She invented the wheel. And you're like, that person was in 4 seconds of the movie. Like, what is going on? Like, why is a marketing team dedicated to this person from District 2 that dies immediately?
I liked when they were doing the attributes of everyone, and they're like, He's in the 85th percentile of underwater combat.
Yeah.
You're like, what is that even? What does that even mean? He plays water polo?
It means there's going to be an underwater scene in about 15 minutes.
She's an expert hider.
You know? Yeah.
He worked in a bakery.
Well, that's handy.
Poor
PETA. The one thing I did work in a bakery. You called it. PETA.
I've been watching Attack on Titan, which is a Japanese anime thing, and they're pretty good about killing off everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But like the flip side of that, where they introduce someone, they're like, this person's going to have an effect. And then they do, and it's boring. They do sort of the opposite thing, where you know anyone that is introduced is dead in the next 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you get the same result, where you're like, I mean, they're just going to die.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You got to find a nice balance between keeping some characters and killing everyone off.
Yeah.
I like it when you go for the main character, where you set up a false main character, psycho style, and then just have them get stabbed to death in a shower. And they're like, oop, change of plot, different story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad Christ didn't die, now that I realize that.
Well, he didn't. He lives on. You eat his butt, bones, and blood.
Yeah. Not as, I do.
Not as boner blood, though. That would be gross.
You know what I mean?
We almost like parallel universe into a Vince stand-up there for a second.
I know. Do you think he can stop? Do you think
I don't know.
Once he reaches some sort of inertia, he just is doing a full set no matter what.
Yeah.
It's always
until
on.
Something shines a light, it's all Pavlovian. You gotta like flash the little flashlight in his face, or he'll just keep fucking doing it. He's got 3 years of material, bro.
guys, you heard about this thing lately in the news?
You guys, seriously though, this one time.
Two things I like. I like sleeping and I like masturbating.
But then the whole question just hangs over it now. Why? Why, Vince?
Brett, I'm going to change the world with my bits about sleeping and masturbating, because no comedian has ever done a joke about those things before. Like, you go to a comedy show and you're like, man, why don't these people talk about the real shit, like sleeping and jerking off? But no, it's all like politics and electric cars and
Pluto and Pluto and its planethood.
Pluto and its planethood and tariffs. It's bullshit.
Stamp taxes. I think, Brett, what we should do, we should Kickstarter this on the sly. And the next stand-up show Vince is doing, which is kind of big, we go in the back and we get like 20-foot high letters, right? While he's up there, we just light up why. Just fucking blinding. Why? And just right in the back, so he knows it. He knows what's happening. And then everyone turns around and then they ask why. And then we all ask why.
That'd be like, that'd be like
75K to pull that off minimum.
That's fair. It's fine. I'll do it.
It's going to put Andy Kaufman to shame.
That's right. Why?
I feel like comedians are the only ones who actually know the answer to that question, and it's to get strangers to like me.
Yeah.
It's for sex, like everything else.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a profession so closely tied to the question of why. It's like, so that people will love me again.
So true.
You guys know, like the real estate agent is so confused. He's like, I don't know, something about impotence.
The girl you talked about like trying to avoid was how I felt almost every second of the gathering with Matt Lieb. Even though I love Matt Lieb, like in private, like he's just a ticking time bomb out in public. Because he starts shouting like Jews or, you know, like
he shouted Allahu Akbar like many times.
That will not do in today's society. Like, yeah. I find a lot of stuff funny. That, no, I'm out. I'm out on that.
He also said, what did he say? RIP to the ones who OD.
No, RIP that one OD.
Yeah.
On the same bridge, the dude got his drugs from the
family,
OD.
Family, RIP that one OD. That's right. On the bridge where the guy OD'd.
Like, you guys understand, his adrenaline is his alcohol.
He is troubled. He's a troubled man. Oh, God, he's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so any thoughts, you guys, any thoughts on ill-advised performances? Because I got a big three this year.
Oh, why don't you top three? Well,
one of mine relates to one of yours,
okay.
Loosely.
Top
so
one.
So you do yours.
But top one is Jodie Foster in Elysium. I don't know what the fuck accent she was doing. Not only was it a bad accent, she coupled it with like a weird head movement that she was doing the whole time. And the whole time I was watching it, I was like, how is there not a director there to be like, no, this is a terrible choice. Please come up with another take on this character, because this is not working at all.
Do the South African accent real quick. I like that one.
The South African accent.
Hey there. Hey. What are they called? Animals?
Come right here. Prawn, come right here, prawn.
Yeah, that's right, prawny. Yeah, that's
prawny.
The
what you doing, prawn?
The A's eyes is my favorite vowel shift of all time. Yeah. Are you gonna put it in your big pick? really eat the grenade.
The grenade.
If they will just put him and Precious in the same movie, I will see that 1,000 times.
Oh,
and
man.
RoboCop.
I'm in as Christ only, though.
Okay, so I got Jodie Foster and I got Charlton Copley in Old Boy. That was another, like, just completely. I don't know if that was. I mean, it was partly his fault and partly the fact that he seemed to have no guidance other than be like the most cliche villain in the universe.
Can I do mine now? That's the one it relates to.
Sure.
So Vince sent me that in his like Old Boy rage.
Don't tell me. I was under embargo.
Oh yeah, in his original Old Boy rage,
right?
Unrelated, And I thought they should make Sholto Copley and Willem Dafoe serious ham fight.
Oh, yeah.
Because Willem Dafoe, both as – wasn't he the Green Goblin?
Yeah. Oh, yes. God, he was so good in that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's so great. And then also in the Once Upon a Time in Mexico where he plays a Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just so good and so weirdly cast.
And then the ultimate Willem Dafoe ham roll is Boondock Saints, where it's just like, dude, just be ridiculous right now. Just I'm going to put the camera on you and you just shout at things.
Yeah. Go as crazy as you can. And it looks like he's kind of having fun, but he's also taking it very seriously. And I fully respect that. Because you're a cyborg from the future who has a new face.
Nick Cage does that too, where he's just got like so much energy. I mean, oh, and then, you know, in the annals of all-time ill-advised performances, I think Wicker Man is like right up there. Because it's like, if you don't have a strong pimp hand on Nick Cage, like he's just going to scream lines and ignore punctuation and go nuts. And, but he, I mean, like the energies that he has can be amazing, like if you channel it into the right areas. But otherwise, it just blows up in your face like Wicker Man.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
What?
Hello. I said I want to nominate somebody.
Please.
Okay. Jennifer Aniston and We're the Millers.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, okay. So she's asked to be like this motherly figure. And then like in the middle of the film, they're like, you know what? Let's have her strip. Because she's a stripper.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
Does he think that's in her rider at this point?
Yeah. It's like, you know what? We got Jennifer Aniston. Let's show some flesh. But
I think
why?
She actually pencils it in because she works out and would like because it's like been her, that way for the last four or five movies.
I think it's the aging actress version of Miley Cyrus, where it's like the culture wants to put you in such a little box that you have to go to extreme lengths to break out of it.
Well, we know they're pretending to be a family, right?
Yeah.
But like as she's dancing and like she's using like a warehouse as like a stripper pole. It's very odd. The whole family's looking on, I guess, all aroused individually. The daughter, the son, and the dad. You should see it. I think you'd like it.
I think to a certain degree that Cameron Diaz did that in The Counselor where, I mean, I like certain things about the character, but it was just very, it was very like one note where she's like, I'm going to be a temptress and just like took it to the nth degree. We're like, okay, she has cheetahs. She's a hunter. She wears crazy makeup. I think I get it.
No, it was a metaphor for the economy. She's a
predatory lender.
Wrong. She's Jesus.
Damn it.
Johnny Depp and the Lone Ranger.
Oh, man, I haven't seen that one either yet.
Johnny Holy Depp and everything.
God. Holy Depp God, we need to see that.
But I'm assuming it's probably a lot like Johnny Depp in Dark Shadows.
Johnny Depp in everything.
It is. I think he may have just walked from set to set, actually.
Just reacting to things and raising an eyebrow.
Wow.
People keep defending. Every time I bring up Lone Ranger, people keep defending it. And, you know, my attack isn't that strong on it because I haven't seen it. And I don't
like
have,
Armie
I have
Hammer
no
shows up in person and it's like, hey, man, stop.
Yeah. Not everything has to be Plato, you guys.
Just be cool. Good Day to Die Hard, whoever the son was just miserable.
Is that the one with the jet, the Harrier?
No, I think that's True Lies you're thinking of.
No, there's a Die Hard or Die Hard.
No, that's Die Hard. That's Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, right?
This
got a computer. It's like the dude from the Mac ads.
No, that's Justin Long.
This one's February 14th, 2013, our Lord's year.
This was Good Day to Die Hard, yeah.
Would Live Free or Die Hard was the other one.
Right.
Which names are so bad.
Which actually wasn't that bad except for that one scene, I think. Other than that Harrier scene versus the semi-truck, I didn't think it was terrible.
No, it was a lot more watchable than this one. Jesus.
Yeah.
Die Hard and Furious.
They should do a Die Hard in tribute to the Misfits. Die, My Darling, which is actually based on a movie, so that'd be like full snake eating its tail at that point.
Isn't Die, My Darling a cover anyway?
I don't think it's a cover. It's just, I think Danzig wrote half his songs while staring at old movie posters, where he just would literally, he would literally sing the taglines of the, like, seriously, like,
Return of the Fly. Sci-fi.
Yeah, like Return of the Fly is a movie like with Vincent Price, that probably says like "You Guinea Pigs" on the poster. So the song is "Return of the Fly, You Guinea Pigs, Human Hands and Feet." Yeah, Return of the Fly. And it's just him singing.
Die, Die, My Darling, 1965, IMDb.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like, it's, that's what I'm not making shit up. He, I think he literally wrote these songs while staring at a movie poster.
You know, another really odd one, the SNL guy in 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because what the hell was their deal? They were just like nice, happy-go-lucky guys. And then it's never really clear if they had a part in kidnapping him or not.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's weird. You're like, hey, that's the SNL guy. This is fun.
Never trust a funny guy. That's the...
then it's not fun anymore.
Yeah. No, not when you're got your head in a noose and people are beating on you.
You're getting enslaved.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still getting shit for that bad review, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're pretty racist.
Like, so. I think people can't wrap their minds around... It's more that... It's not even... It's like they take the movie out of it.
Your racism is almost too real for them.
No, it's no. It's like it's not so much that they don't believe that the movie's bad. It's like, what kind of person would give this a bad review? It's like it's not even about the movie anymore.
And the answer is,
it's like you gave a positive review for slavery. Is essentially
pretty much that's like
the answer to who would do that is a monster, by the way.
Clearly,
yeah.
Clearly,
just so you know,
right?
Some sort of horrible creature,
horrible
swamp
creature.
Beast.
That's a great segue, Brett, because me and Ben have been noticing this recently, but the only time I see this is while watching football, but you see promos for these network shows, and they look like Saturday Night Live sketches, like they look like fake shows, or they look like shows from the 50s, and it's so strange, and the latest one that brought me to this topic was El Cucuy, and I have the promo for that.
Boogeyman.
What do you mean it's not real? Have you ever seen El Cucuy? The legend of El Cucuy. Stream past seasons of.
And so we just saw that, and we're like, "That's how is that a real show? They're doing shows about El Cucuy now."
You know what it is? Did you see that one, the Alice in Wonderland one with Saeed from Lost?
I saw the promos for it and thought the same thing.
It's a mad dash for everything in the public domain. They're like, how can we modernize, I don't know, fucking Treasure Island? And they're just scrambling for all that shit because, I don't know, people eat it up.
It's so weird. I mean, I feel like
they can't afford to take risks anymore, man. The NFL has got them by the throat.
I think El Cucuy is just...
Network TV is struggling under the heel of the NFL.
The legend of Chupacabra.
I seriously think they were like, all right, who still watches network TV? I know, Latin ants. Let's do a show about Latin ants, and then we're going to do some ghosts and some aliens. We'll get that doomsday prepper audience.
We're going to bring Michael J. Fox back. He was pretty big in the 80s. People will love it. Yeah. We're going to get the guy from Will and Grace. That's a slam dunk.
So it's just watching an elderly person lose their mind.
It really is. I mean, the History Channel alone is just like watching an old man get senile.
Sunday Ticket is sponsored by the second season of Finding Bigfoot, and they call it Finding Bigfoot. They had the audacity to call the show Finding Bigfoot.
I have seen that trailer so often, and that last part where they see something in like night vision, and it's like, oh my god,
dude!
It's
like, what is it?
How many times can you almost see something and still have it be interesting?
What was that? That was Bigfoot. What's going on?
Oh yeah. Typical Squatch behavior. I've seen this a million times.
Is that official terminology? Is that the Latin? Is it Squatch?
I don't know. Yeah. I think they just shorten it when you're in the Squatch.
Boom! Of all these white trash idiots, about 40 of them, and they're like, who here has had an experience with a Sasquatch? And I swear to God, like 30 raised their hand.
I love that part. I would, oh God. See, that's the cruel sword that is this Post Honey Boo Boo show creation is that you would you watch it from this horrible pedestal of judgment, or what? You totally believe in Bigfoot. There's only two options.
Well, what I thought was strange is that a show called Finding Bigfoot had a bunch of people who believed in Bigfoot. It was weird.
Yeah. Turns out, actually, the majority of humans.
No, and I just like the idea that, like, you know, Grandpa, first he's got his World War II books and it's kind of cute. And then he starts slowly like believing in like ghost stories and like 9/11 conspiracies, and then after a while it's like full on like Illuminati. That's basically the History Channel. It's like watching an old man age.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
All right, so a couple people I asked for this on Twitter to see if because I know there's been a million bad network promos.
Wait, before we go into it, can we talk about Almost Human? Because that's previewed every 3 seconds when you're watching football.
Why didn't you send me that one, you jackass?
Huh?
Why didn't you send me that one?
What? Why would? How would that? So you could queue it up?
Yeah.
You can queue it up. I'm going to talk about it for a second.
Go ahead.
All right. Who's the target audience for that? It's about a robot that's main function is to steal feelings. They took four focus groups and just mashed up everything they said. They just like blended the fuck out of that one. It's like, I solve crimes with my heart.
Monday. Hey, what's with the disco face?
It's the new evolution of cop drama.
Lockdown communications.
With man and machine.
Leave the building now.
Christmas.
Critics rave. Almost Human is something special. A hopeful crime fantasy.
Statistics do not read what you're being.
Dorian? Oh, that's not good.
Almost Human. All new Monday at 8, 7 Central.
I don't even know what's going on in that.
Almost Human. Almost a show.
It's all the thing old people love. It's procedural cop shows and technology going wrong and then feelings.
Procedural cop shows? My God, they love them. It's like, there's a new one where this is one of the ones I queued up. There's a cop who is in a wheelchair now. That's a new one.
There's one thing I know. People do bad things. As a cop, you usually see the leftovers. For me, that's where the job begins. I'm everywhere, on top of working every angle, until I've got my facts. And when I know, without a doubt, that I may do bad things too. My name's Robert, but on the streets, they call me Ironside.
And the whole promo is him beating people up.
I think that was already canceled. What's up with that goddamn free music bed they're all using, too? Jesus.
Oh, there you
go. I got to go, dude. I'm sorry.
All right.
I love you both. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye. Peace out in the Middle East. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, I got another one. I got a few more of these.
But the procedural cop show thing. You could have a partner be a can of mayonnaise, and it would still turn the same thing 3 episodes in. Like, they all start with a premise to get people interested, and they just like, oh, it starts with a scene of a birthday party. It's a bachelor party, but with a cake, and there's a stripper, but they open the cake, and the stripper's dead, and then hard cut to the titles. It's always the same fucking thing.
This fall, Kevin James and a can of mayonnaise. Will they fuck? I don't know. There's so much tension.
You could play a game where you start with an intro to a procedural cop drama, and it's like, okay, it's like Mad Libs, where you're like construction site, Super Balls, like a Super Ball factory.
Yeah. Golf course. This guy's dead guy in a sand trap, for sure.
Yeah, dead guy in a sand trap. And they're doing something, and it sets the scene, and then they realize there's a hand sticking out of it. And I guarantee you would not be able to find a single combination of noun, of place, person, and thing that didn't end up actually being a procedural
cop. He's a cop that can solve crimes because he's in a wheelchair. Super smart. A robot.
Outer space.
Yeah, an alien or something.
Cheddar cheese.
This one, I forgot about this one, but someone sent me the promo to a Million Second Quiz. And this one isn't one of those weird procedurals. It just doesn't really make any... Like, try and figure out what the fuck the rules of this thing are.
From across the country, one event this fall will bring America together like never before. live September 9th from the heart of New York City. 24 hours a day for a million seconds. People just like you will face off in a test of mental and physical endurance. Because the longer you play, the more you win. The Million Second Quiz. The countdown begins September 9th.
What? Like they just have to play a game for a million seconds?
I watched that, and it actually makes less sense the more you understand of the rules.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain number of slots, and somebody from each slot that has already won is competing against someone new. Mm-hmm. And the winner of that round goes into that slot. So you could be displaced, but you only make money while you're in the chair, which is like in competing, which makes sense. All right, okay. Fine. But that doesn't seem to matter because you claim the spoils of the person you take over from, and then everyone fights to there's only one winner. So it doesn't matter at all the amount of time that anyone's done anything because it's all one big prize. As far as I can tell, I think that's how it works.
But. That's dangerously close to when we were in high school coming up with different X-Men. I remember someone came up with a guy who has super strength, but only when he's standing in a puddle of his own pee. I really liked that one. Okay, this one I think is the holy grail of stupid promos. I can't imagine the show lasted more than like two episodes.
My name is Dr. Jason Cole. At least it is right now. But every night, at the same time, he becomes me.
Ian Price.
We share the same body.
But we are not the same.
He wants to destroy me. He wants to control me. He's dangerous.
Let's have some fun.
Oh, he's right.
Do No Harm. Premieres Thursday, January
31st. It's called Do No Harm, and it's about a surgeon who's also a killer. And they're fighting.
What if they made ER cops and they were both doctors, male and female partners who are doctors in the daytime and cops at night. And so they shoot they shoot the people and then have to fix them.
That would make a bajillion dollars.
Yeah, we could. Oh God.
Did you see they're doing a hospital show on HBO now?
I trust in HBO's ability to execute. They get pass for the first three episodes, no matter what.
But come Even on, a room, hospital watch three. A hospital comedy? Like, how many hospital comedies do we need?
You didn't say it was a comedy. I'm out.
Okay.
I don't know. They get three episodes.
They have the weird Mad TV lady with the brown hair that I've never quite understood. There's a lot of Mad TV cast members that get shows, and you're like, who is that? Like, you feel like you missed something?
I don't know. Keen Peele are
That's
doing
true.
Good.
That is true.
Who else is there from Mad TV? I've never watched Mad TV for more than 5 minutes.
Me neither. There's the guy who was a giant child. I forget his name.
Oh, yeah. Is he the King of Queens?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
It's hard to tell.
Did you watch Boardwalk Empire?
No, I watched the first three episodes and the first three episodes of this season. Oh, so man. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, it's so good. All right, I won't spoil it for you. Is it over?
Is that the end of the series?
No, there's one more episode, I think.
And then is this the series finale?
I don't know. I don't think so. I hope not.
They're foreign?
I don't know, man. Don't ask me these questions. You can look it up. You're in front of a computer.
You don't know that.
So this guy and a few more emails. This one a few people had late submissions to the obnoxious Facebook statuses topic, and this one I thought was pretty good. This is from Steven. Don't know why this guy. I have one mutual friend with him popped up on my Facebook feed today, but this is excellent. Vince, maybe you should take a page out of Chaz's book and get back at your ex with some motorcycle pics with a fine slice of ass. Fraud on. And then this is like the chronological status updates of this guy. My girl just broke things off with me. Don't think I'm going to be changing my profile pic, though. I'll get her back whether she likes it or not. All misspelled. Next. Weather, like as in the weather outside. That's how it's spelled. And then the next one, looking to buy a jet ski. Got any jet ski wizards out there? LOL. Can't wait. Hashtag.
A jet ski wizard?
That would be. Now you got an NBC show.
Yeah, I know. I know. Call help and we're going to be rich.
Hashtag can't wait. Hashtag to hit the lake. Hashtag love cold water.
That's actually just two hashtags. It's just can't wait to hit the lake and then cold water.
Yeah, well.
Was one of them just weather? That was the whole status update?
No, no. I was. He says, I'll get her back whether she likes it or not. But he is the wrong kind of weather.
Oh, I thought one was just weather.
Oh, no.
Because he's going crazy because he's so lonely now.
Right. The next one. Tried weed for the first time last night and ended up at the hospital. I thought my body was shutting down and someone gave me poison. Just because you have a girl in your jacuzzi doesn't mean you have to try their drugs. I found this out the hard way. Screw weed.
Not that non-standard, but kind of a pussy move.
And then underneath that one is, also, she won't speak to me anymore because I, quote, freaked out and called the police, so screw her as well.
Yeah, definitely a pussy move.
Next status update. Getting my jacuzzi cranked up super hot tonight since my girl broke up with me. Real friends, holla if you're down to get wet in warm water. And then he's got a picture of himself. I'm sorry. He's got a picture of himself next to a girl on a motorcycle. I assume this is the one who later freaked out about his drugs. And status update is, sad? Question mark? Give me a break. Check out this fine slice of ass I partied with last night. Fuck you, Aaliyah. I'm glad you broke up with me.
Is that real?
I hope so. It's almost like Kenny Powers.
I don't really care. I will totally buy that, even fake. That is spectacularly full of pathos.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
Just going crazy. I mean, dude, you do some fucked up shit when you get broken up with, but maybe take it off Facebook. Maybe keep it in emails where they'll eventually just, you know, clean Gmail.
Yeah. This next one is about some existential buffoonery. Always a fine topic. Frogcasters, on a recent flight to Vegas from New Orleans, I was playing my favorite game to kill time. I like to scan the cabin and look for other passengers and see if you can determine why they are going to Vegas, looking especially for the stripper hooker types who are flying in to work the weekend. Usually they are pretty easy to spot, profiled if you will. Single traveler, relaxed pajama-like clothing, single carry-on, but blinged up with expensive jewelry and such. At a stop in Midland, Texas, three girls got on that fit the profile, except that they were traveling as a group. They occupied the seats behind me and would not stop talking, but I had an ear on them to see if I could pinpoint what they were headed to Sin City for. It quickly became clear that they were not in the profile at all, but conventioneers going to Vegas for an Herbalife show. And since they were talking loud and nonstop, I had a front row seat to some outstanding existential buffoonery. Each of them prattled on about how enlightened they were and what led them to an elevated place. They talked about spirituality and how it ties into their work to help people lose weight. They talked about how great it felt to have that impact on someone, how it made them better as a person. This went on and on and on. I'm sure Brett was twitching and didn't realize why. And then, and this is why I'm writing, this exchange happened. I just, you know, really believe what Andy was telling us the other day. You know about how the Lord speaks through you sometimes? Other girls, in chorus. And I do that too sometimes. Sometimes I just open my mouth and let God put whatever he wants in it. And that was the end of the email.
Surprise, it's cookies.
It's my son's blood.
Cookies and wine, cookies and wine. Is Herbalife a weed thing?
I think it's a grow? I think it's vitamins.
Oh.
But they're like, I think it's some sort of Avon-like vitamin company.
Oh, gotcha. So that's why they're all affecting people's lives is through commerce.
Right. Yeah, you have to make them. You make them.
Yeah, you have to trick them into buying garbage so that they can be saved.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And this one's a question. Usually, there's more of us to give opinions on this question, but you know, me and Brett will do our best. I think we give the best advice anyway, right?
I'm not going to do my best. I'm going to give it 40% and make it real flippant.
Okay. Fair. I mean, you can't ask for more than that if you're writing.
You can't because I will not oblige.
Right. Dear Frogcast, I'm a lawyer, and I was in 2008 when, a year out of school, I followed the partner I worked for to another firm. Since then, things have gone haywire. I've come to realize he's an idiot, and we are openly enemies. I had hip surgery.
There's knife fights in the hallway. We're pissing territory. It's gotten real bad. Real bad.
I lick my food in the fridge.
I lick his food in the fridge.
I had hip surgery a year ago, and he opted to make my time off unpaid. A couple weeks after I was back, he denied my request for a day off to be in a friend's wedding and accused me of taking weeks of vacation at a time for surgery. He went to his partners and tried to fire me, and they unanimously voted him down. I went to his partners and told them this idiot is obsessed with me, and they told me not to worry about it. They'll get rid of him when they can. But now we've hired a new guy who went to my college and was actually in my fraternity, and it's hard to find a job, and it's his first one out of law school, and I feel like I should take care of him. Do I tell him to run because this place is poison, or pretend he should be happy here and he's gotten the job he hoped for? I don't know if I should take care of him and show him the ropes dishonestly or tell him to get the hell out honestly. Have any of you had to deal with an enthusiastic mentee in a situation you know is bad?
Yes.
Constantly. I feel like that's the entire reason that I enjoyed Magic Mike, was because he had his protege and was trying to be like him and doing it wrong. And I don't know. I feel like I've seen that play out in real life.
That's our relationship, is you're like my eager protege. Uh-huh. And I keep telling you to get off the internet.
Right.
And you don't, because mm-hmm. you can't learn good.
There was just something that got lost in translation. I thought you said, I thought you said start a blog. I thought you said start a blog, Spider. The easy answer to this is I would be honest with the guy. I mean, I don't think you tell him what you think about the place, honestly. And if he chooses to continue, that's his prerogative.
Yeah, I don't know why this is an issue unless you don't really like the guy. Mm-hmm. In which case, do what makes you feel good. But yeah, if you've got like a smart, capable person who's looking to you for advice, give them actual advice.
Right. And don't
the jobs, like, if they decide to stick with the job, that's on them then. Like, you've given them all the shit they need to make the decision. Like, you're in the clear.
And don't go overboard with bashing the other dude. Just sort of lay it out in a normal manner, because that way, if he becomes that guy's, he starts the job and becomes that guy's ally, you don't want your cards quite that much on the table. Just sort of, you know.
Yeah, don't talk shit on your superiors to your subordinates. Like, that's a serious no-no. You can definitely tell them that the work environment isn't great and that, you know, you don't want to be here in the long term or whatever, but don't name names to someone who's below your pay grade.
Well, you don't want to be competing with the guy who has dirt on you, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like the dude he followed is still his superior.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk shit on people who can get you fired.
Yeah. That's good advice. We had a few online dating stories, and this guy sent us an email about his nightmare online date, and he put it in bullet points. About this girl who was very talkative. Bullet point one, her mother died recently. An old standby for a great first date conversation. Two, she had and beat cancer and points out that she's still wearing a wig. Inspiring.
Whoa. You're just going to read them all like we clicked the little tiny gray link? Do them in segments. Make us get another ad.
Okay. How do I do that?
I'll make the click sound.
Okay. Three, she made it to the second round of interviews for a real world audition. She stood up for a friend who had recently been dissed by Jersey Shore's Pauly D by throwing a public fit and shaming him into it, apologizing and taking pictures with them. They were following him around Atlantic City. So far, I think that's the first. I mean, the first three before that, I think I could have seen past.
Yeah, that's regular people awkward. This is special awkward.
Right. Next one. She is a self-proclaimed Backstreet Boys superfan and has followed them across the nation on tour multiple times.
Yeah, I feel like you get one tour. Yeah. Or one show, really.
Yeah, I was sitting in it was a coffee shop I was sitting in recently, and I overheard this girl, and she was having this conversation, and it was like, I mean, she was talking for like an hour and a half, and it was all gossip about the same like small group of people and who they liked and whatnot. And like about 60 minutes in, it dawned on me that she was like Backstreet Boy? I think it might have been Backstreet Boys. Maybe it's the same girl. That she was like some weird Backstreet Boys groupie, and that she was close enough to the band that, you know, she had 90 minutes of gossip to share about fellow groupies, and that there was this whole social circle that was built around following them around.
You want me to make that 100% more creepy?
Sure.
She was in no way close to the band.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so next bullet point. She had a more than short-term relationship with the backstreetiest boy, Nick Carter, whom she still keeps in touch with, and unprompted shows me a multitude of candid photos of the two of them together.
That is fake.
Why is that?
I don't... do you buy that?
What, the email?
No, the email is totally true. I don't buy her relationship to the Backstreet Boy.
Well, do you think she's photoshopping candid photos?
Wouldn't you?
I mean, I have. I'm not proud of it.
I mean, yes, on multiple counts. Yes.
I mean, it's strange. I don't know. It's hard. I feel like you can usually tell a Photoshop picture from an unphotoshopped one, but who knows? Mm. Long story short, by the end of the date, I'd become an Eskimo brother to the poor man's Justin Timberlake, for better or worse. Yeah, good times.
Is that when you touch his eyelashes?
I guess it's when you... I only heard this recently. I think I heard about it through TMZ, which is a weird way. But I guess Eskimo brother means, you know, you've had sex with the same woman.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where that comes from.
Probably the Eskimos.
Good call. There's another one that we have. It's about church. As Brett and I were agreeing that there should be a non-religious type church. A few people suggested, like, oh, yeah, it's like the Elks Lodge or blah, blah, blah. But usually all the things are interest group based, and you don't get as broad of a cross-section.
Yeah. You really need a location-based mandatory Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of... diverse in age and demographics, yes, and
yeah,
et cetera.
Hopefully focused around hate.
Right. Oh, also there's like a show on, I guess it's Bravo now or something, where it's the main character is one of those pastors, like in that Ja Rule movie, where he's real rich, but apparently he made his money as some sort of recording artist. But he's like a pastor at a mega church, and he like flies around in a private jet. So apparently that's like a real thing.
The super rich pastor?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, isn't that the whole, they've got all those mega churches and they're all about being billionaires because they're special.
Yeah.
From God.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
Space dad's favorite child.
Well, yeah.
I get a special allowance.
Nothing in Space Dad's rules says that I can't have a private jet.
Gets me closer to him.
Oh, exactly. Fraught-themed greeting. Every week I attend church with my wife. She loves me despite my non-belief, and I put up with church once a week so I can continue to see her naked. Win-win. Anyways, being the non-believer that I am, I mean, that's bold, by the way. I would think that you would get to see her naked because you married her, but...
Those are God rules. You got to play by the ref if you want to rule the roost.
Okay. Anyways, being the non-believer that I am, each week I get to test my reasoning skills while listening to the sermon. This week's theme included the doozy, "We all fall short of the glory of God." It got me thinking, if God were a manufacturing company, he would have been bankrupt thousands of years ago. You're telling me that you create literally billions of humans in your own image and 100% of them fall short of your glory? Time for God to step down and let Steve Jobs take the reins. That maniac will have that operation turned around in no time. Matt.
Yeah, you don't want to bring your reason there. It's not a house of reason.
Yeah.
The house of...
No, that's the whole thing. It's faith. You need your faith to overcome the reason.
It's like arm wrestle it into glorious glory.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, that's the way to get to heaven. Glorious glory.
Yeah, use your arms. Get up there. Yeah, climb that private jet.
Climb. That would be a good subject line for a Tyler Perry email. Climb.
God.
Dig.
I get those because you have them sent to the broadcast email.
Well,
and when I get to them while they're still unread, I feel kind of special.
Aren't you happy that you're getting those now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, is that letting him win? I don't want to be his footstool.
Well, don't make enemies.
I'd like to be like a coffee table or something, I would hope. I aspirations, which I guess is a sin. Coffee table aspirations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Why would you? I don't know. Church.
Church. This next one is a little involved, but you know, we got time. I figure why not read it? What do you think?
Oh, I get a say?
Yeah.
No, skip it.
All right. Now I got to read it now. Okay. To follow up on Allison's story from the other week, my ex-girlfriend practiced the same thing before I knew it had a name. I think he means the dominatrix thing.
Oh, I thought you meant mushrooms on the first date.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, that was a good one, too. We got one about mushrooms. It might be too weird to read. this one's pretty weird, too. This all starts long ago in the pre-MySpace age. My ex had a strict Chinese upbringing. When I started dating her, she was sweet and into art, etc. She was a cool chick with hints of a dark side. But that dark side was much darker than I thought. Isn't that always the way? I found out about 3 years into dating her. She moved to Chicago to college at the Art Institute. She started to distance herself from me, and I began to worry. I was able to log into her email. It's a tell right there, by the way. I was able to log into her email, and I was curious what she had been up to. I started learning that she was into latex and 6-inch high heels and had a subfolder called Slaves LOL. It was full of emails from guys being subservient to her as she demanded them to do her homework, buy her things, send her money, etc. And she rewards them by letting them stick a high heel up their ass or crush their balls. And she wanted photos sent to her to make sure they did as they were told. If they were lucky, she'd send some used panties. Some really freaky shits to find when you're 19. I kept this to myself, and when I went to visit her, I found out she had completely changed. Piercings, tattoos, dreads in the hair. She had a new persona name called Mistress B, and she liked to hang on hooks and shit now, so great! This is all in a three-month span of her moving to Chicago.
It's a really short time frame.
That really is.
The tattoos aren't even healed all the way. You still got a little bit of like rawness. You have to put a little bit of Vaseline on them.
But you do see that with like 19 and 20 year olds that just college.
True. It's a lot of development in that period.
I remember that one girl who had the angel wing tattoos and wore like the giant Gene Simmons boots. Like that'll happen pretty fast too.
Yeah.
She told me what had been going on and asked if I had a problem with it. I think the 19 year old self was mad but accepting. I guess that's not what she was wanting. Long story short, that was the last time I saw her. A month later, on Halloween night, she AOL IM'd me a bunch of photos. It was pictures of herself covered in some guy's cum and them showering together. She said they met at a Halloween party and fucked all night. I think that means I'm dumping you in the worst way to dump someone. That, like, destroyed my brain, and everyone tells me that I went into a one-year depression coma and gained 100 pounds, grew my hair out to where you couldn't see my face, and people thought I was going to kill myself. I really don't remember that time. So fucking emo. 4 years passed. She Facebooks me and tries to patch things up. Best things she said, one, I didn't know how to break up with you, so I thought doing the worst thing ever would make you hate me. Yep, also ruined my life. Two, do you think we'll ever see each other again? No. Currently, she's an art therapist and still moonlights as a dom. I got married a year ago. All is well. Still fat. Working on that. Jeremy.
Yeah, that's pretty epic.
I don't have any breakup stories that good. I'll say that.
Yeah. Can you imagine at 19, though, when everything's still sort of raw, you got all your nerves just hanging out?
Yeah, when you still care about rejection.
I guess this will fuck me for a while. I guess I'll be fucked for a little bit.
Yeah. There's a weird, like, super extreme jealousy gene that you have between, like, 16 and, like, 23 or so.
Yeah, 20, yeah, about that.
And then, like, where you can't handle the fact that your girlfriend has had sex before you. And then you get older and you completely stop giving a shit at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I mean, you won in that situation. You won despite having some scar tissue. Like if you would have somehow stayed with her, that does not seem like that would have worked out well.
Yeah. There's always the double-edged sword of finding out that an ex is, or, you know, being confirmed and finding out like a girl you dated was crazy or boy or whatever. It's like, well, you know, at least you're not with them now, right? Wouldn't that be much worse?
Yes. Yes. Past you has suffered, but current you is probably in the clear.
Yeah. I mean, because the other alternative is staying with that person. Then one day she like shoots you in bed like Phil Hartman.
Yeah. That's a very real possibility.
Or vice versa, which is probably much more common.
Yeah, and it's not just the end result of the weirdness, like the person that she became. It's the speed with which she became it that's unsettling.
Yeah,
like you don't want to have a full personality switch in that amount of time. Like that's probably too quick to be a different person.
But I feel like that is. I mean, if that does happen to people at 19 and 20 a lot, because it's like they've been like their parents' pet for their whole life, and then suddenly,
which is a red flag to begin with. Like, right. If you need to do a full human adjustment set, where you're like, I don't really like everything that I have come to be.
Yeah,
you're gonna have a couple of weird ripples down the line.
But even, I mean, I even know fairly normal, well adjusted people that got to college and decided like they wanted to be known by a different name.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's just like a light version of that.
Yeah, I mean, for kids who weren't cool, it's a readjustment period where they're like, no one knows that I'm not cool.
Yeah, even though they don't know that everyone else there isn't cool also.
Yeah, just by virtue of you being in college. It's like, yeah, there's like three cool people here and they're going to fail out in the first semester.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of the early times in college where you see like the groups of people who definitely weren't cool, but now they are cool and they're just like it's all gone to their head. Like in
but they just found
way.
Weirdos to be cool with. Like the reason people weren't cool is because of glaring personality flaws.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You self-select to a certain point, which is cool. You can be cool with that.
Well, you just find
more people.
But you
still got the real
world
just hanging out outside. Just a few miles out, you've got everyone that didn't like you.
Right. I remember this one guy that I played basketball with in high school. He was very religious and kind of a dork. I mean, he was a good guy. I liked him. But then we got to college, and there was like so many other super churchy guys that didn't drink and like wanted to play acoustic guitar in the park.
They loved that.
Oh my God, he was like the happiest guy that I've ever seen. And then. He was
this at school? There was like a whole crew of them that would mob deep with their churchy guitars.
Yep. It was one of them. And he would always like play me his songs on the guitar. And I was like, cool, man. Cause he knew like that I played guitar and stuff.
Yeah.
And I forget, he used to sing in the choir in high school. And so he'd sing like songs on the guitar, but he would still sing it in that like head falsetto choir type voice.
Oh.
And he played me one song. And I can't remember what I said. I'm sure I was like nice about it. I wasn't just going to be like, oh,
yeah,
man.
Guitars and choir are cool.
Yeah.
Those are cool things separately from personality.
But I think I just wasn't enthusiastic enough in saying how much I liked the song. And he's like, that's weird. Like everybody else I played it for, they really liked it. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, it's good, but you know, hey, that's cool. You know, okay. Taste is subjective. I don't know.
Just such a fragile dove.
I know. That's a weird thing where you don't have the self-awareness to realize that not everyone that compliments you might be 100% genuine with it.
Yeah. Also, when you self-select, when you establish your own tiny clique, you don't really harden up at all. You stay soft.
Yeah.
Because everyone's reinforcing your squishy tendencies.
Well, you see that on those, you know, those restaurant shows all the time where the main guys will be trying to fix their food from their failing restaurant and the cook will be like, but everybody I talk to says they like the food. And it's like, yeah, do you realize, like, how often do people just go into a restaurant and like tell the chef that his food sucks?
I think you need a certain amount of self-loathing to ever improve at anything. I don't think you can roll in being okay with your dumbass falsetto singing self and ever get better at singing your guitar.
Yeah,
like, I think there needs to be an urge where you're like, I don't really feel 100% happy with what I'm producing before you can ever even hope to have someone externally give you a tip.
Fair. Yeah, being your own like worst critic.
Yeah, he's locked in that world probably for the rest of his life.
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while. I think he moved to Cambodia. Actually, I know he did. Which, that's good.
Don't come find me. I'm having a great time.
He's still a good guy. I think he's married out there. So Thanksgiving, are you staying in New York?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Cool. Do you have a lost toys Thanksgiving dinner to go to?
Is that where we levitate because we're vampires?
Yes, exactly. That's when Kiefer Sutherland shows up outside your window. No, you know, we're like the transplant Thanksgiving.
The transplant? Is that from Lost? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, like when you're not with your family on Thanksgiving, like if you're in New York and there's a bunch of people that didn't go home for Thanksgiving, so you have like the friends.
Are you doing the creepy ex-boyfriend thing here? Because I spent the last two Thanksgivings with you.
No.
Is that what's going on here?
No, I was just curious.
Are you going to make raviolis and just cry into them? Just cry into the little pockets and steam them up?
I am.
So salty.
I'm just curious. I'm curious about your New York experience as opposed to mine.
You want to know if it's better?
Yeah.
If I like my new city better?
No, I'm just curious.
I don't know. I don't have any plans. So probably we're trying to try and get Momofuku on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
To anyone listening, do you guys see how hard Brett has to deflect when I ask him any personal questions? That's what it's like to try and find out anything about Brett's life. That is what I deal with.
I don't know how to feel since you posted all those sweet pictures of slices of asses. Ass slices with the motorcycles. Yeah. Look, put me on the defensive.
I've moved on now, Brett.
Weather.
I got a sweet jet ski. I don't even care how cold the water is.
I'm just out partying with the jet ski wizard slicing up asses.
Yeah, one time I smoked too much weed, but whatever. I still got a jet ski, so screw you,
Why
Lisa.
Why would you post that? I panicked like a bitch, but, you know, drugs.
Yeah. Some people, they have something bad happens and they have to write a vague thing about it, and other people they have to write a really specific thing about it.
It's not unusual for new kids smoking drugs to freak out and think their body is poison. Like, that's a pretty regular reaction, but
not for like a grown-up though.
Yeah, not for a grown-up, and don't call the cops. There are some very simple rules when outpacing yourself with drugs. You're like, oh god, I'm probably gonna die, and then you accept that and you find a happy place and then you don't die usually.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. Don't call the cops on yourself.
So you're not even going to cook anything?
I don't know. Maybe on Thursday.
Okay.
I got all kinds of neat wedding cooking tools.
Yeah.
Been pressure cooking the shit out of some shit.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing that.
The pressure makes it delicious.
Doesn't it seem like the pressure cooker should cook things faster?
It does.
I mean, it does. But like, how long do you have to boil an artichoke? Because in the pressure cooker, it still takes like 11 minutes, 12 minutes.
Yeah, it probably cuts it down by half.
Yeah.
From the point of water boiling.
Yeah, but then it takes a while. It takes way longer to boil in the pressure cooker than it does in just the regular pot.
I'm steaming them shit, so there's not much water. It gets up to like high pressure and I don't know.
But mine says you're not supposed to put less than like half the water, half full of water.
Your little baby pot?
No, it just says
babies.
Yeah, I just read the direction and it said you're not supposed to pressure cook with less than
directions. What are you cooking with science, man? Pressure cookers aren't dangerous.
That's true.
Yeah, no, they're totally dangerous.
Well, I mean, only if you make bombs.
Full of pressure, like little bombs.
Exactly.
Artichoke explosion.
Yeah, someone asked about my ravioli recipe. You can email me if you want that. I just don't think it'd be very interesting to talk about on the podcast because it's pretty basic. Anyway, I think we've done enough work for this week.
You think so? You think we put in our quota, can punch the time card?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
Can we? No. I mean, have we really paid back all that we owe?
All the goodwill that we've received? I hope so. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you are traveling down the road needing something to listen to and you just find us in your ear holes for a few hours this week. On behalf of myself and Laramie and Brett, Laramie, it's at Laramie, as always. And you can email us at frotcast@gmail.com, Google Voice, 415-275-0030. And just, you know, tell us whatever you want to tell us. It's fun. Anyway, I'm not good at filling space like Ben is. I just sort of ramble.
I just want to see how long you can go for. There's some real fear coming through. You're like sweating right now over there.
There's a table in the room, and then sometimes there's a box on the ground. Oh, also, I think I should change this light bulb above me. Sometimes I look at my curtains, and I think I should buy new ones. The TV doesn't go on very well.
Vince, having been your roommate for, probably 3 years?
Something like that.
All told, yeah. Vince has the TV going full blast when he sleeps. And I've always really, really been curious as to what your stream of consciousness is if you turn the TV off.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just, you know.
Spiders and yeah. Fears.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's worse than what goes through my brain on a regular basis.
Could be. Probably not.
It might be. It may be.
Because I have the, well, you have the dreams about like the zombies and the people and the werewolves and things attacking you. Whereas I tend to have the really mundane dreams, like I lost my car keys and all my furniture's on the roof one day.
You can't deal with the world in which you've lost your car keys. You're like, I refuse that reality. I refuse it outright. I want no part of it.
That's where my brain farts go.
Close it down.
All right, guys. Good night and good chance. That's all I got.